From 2000 to 2015, the U.S. Asian population rose 72%. That's a really big number. However, higher population numbers don't necessarily equate to equality in power, especially when it comes to business and especially when it comes to stereotypes that fall onto Asian women each and every day. They particularly have to take on the role of caretaking and family as opposed to being a leader and following career ambitions in most cases. And whether it's because of young looks or Asians being known as the model minority or even cultural cues that could lead to potential submissiveness and hesitancy, it's a problem that exists in our society today. So much so that when McKinsey & Company was creating a research article about diversity and inclusion of women in the workplace, they failed to even mention Asian women or even include a spot for them on an article that was released this year. Welcome to Unmuted Generations, and in this week's episode, my guests and I will be talking about empowerment among Asian women and how they are helping women redefine success on their own terms. Hello everyone, I'm Ryan Mew, and in each episode, we focus on expanding our horizons and personal knowledge of the world through storytelling and sharing unique perspectives. My guests this week are Jen and Rose, the co-authors of In Her Purpose, 40 Principles of Asian Women Redefining Success on Their Own Terms. How's it going? Welcome to you both, and thank you so much for coming on.
Hi, thank you for having us.
No, thank you both for coming on. I really appreciate you guys giving the time to go chat more about your journey and your book. This is a very brave undertaking. You're fighting for a very positive cause. I'm curious to see, like, how did both of your journeys really start off and how did this venture start?
I can start. So I'm Rose. How we ended up writing this book was because I actually started my own business when I was 18 years old, but didn't know it. I didn't realize that I was starting my own business, and I only wanted to do it because I wanted to make some extra income so I could be able to go out and have a good time. But my parents instilled this thing in me where I'm supposed to go to college, get an education, and then live off my 401k while working through corporate. Through my passion, I ended up touring with the musicians that I was working with. From there, I started meeting all of these amazing Asian women who were actually putting a stamp into the world and into what they were doing in corporate. And I was like, wait, where are these women coming from? they just came out of the blue. And I didn't see them because, you know, I was in marketing and I was in advertising and I was kind of surprised. So I wanted to learn more about them. And I ended up, just trying to Google them and learn more about how they got to where they're at now. And because I didn't find anything, it kind of raised some questions. What I did was I went onto Amazon and I was like, well, there has to be a book on Asian American women or just Asian women who are actually putting a stamp into what they're doing. And the only book I found was How to Marry an Asian Woman. And, you know, during that time, Jen and I are cousins, but we're cousins. And I understood with her, you know, she was going through her own journey. And we would always connect, you know, talk about our corporate life or our career life. And from there, I was like, you know what, Jen, I'm meeting all these women that are doing some crazy things that look like us. And I find nothing on them, but I find stuff on how to marry one. And she was like, well, you should probably change that. Yeah, and that's how we ended up where we're at now.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys took the initiative to do that. And Jen, I obviously don't want to gloss over your journey, so I was wondering if you mind going into your own personal path into starting In Her Purpose.
Yes, absolutely. So I started my career out in corporate America, and I worked for one of the competing consulting firms to McKinsey. And obviously, being in the business world, I was one of the very few females in the consulting world, obviously, because we travel a lot and we're on the road. And so it's not very conducive to having a relationship or a family, right? So I spent 5 years there and really thought I was going to go down the trajectory of going to business school to get my MBA and come back because they pay for our tuition if we get into a tier one school. as long as we promise to come back for two more years, right?
Most definitely. The consulting life isn't for everyone. You know, I mean, there's a lot of different sacrifices that go with it. You're making a really great income, but at the same time, lots of traveling, lots of hours. So props to you for doing it for 5 years. I know around this time also the tech boom of 2008 was also going on, and the rise of Silicon Valley and all these new technologies that really shaped our world the way it is today. How was joining the industry during that time?
Yeah, so I ended up jumping into the industry, the tech industry, at a really crazy time. Again, like during the tech boom. And I started out working in operations, which is also heavily male to begin with. And being in tech, I also found myself being one of the only females and oftentimes the only person of color in the room. And so as I matured and moved up in my career, I started searching for a mentor, and I wanted to find somebody who looked like me to show me, like, to be that role model that you could be successful, you can have a family, you could be a mom, and all that. So I didn't find that. I would often reach out to Rose, and this time I'd asked her if she could introduce me to somebody who would mentor me. And at the time, Rose was working as a vice president at an advertisement agency. And at the same time, she was managing the Philharmonic. And so she was meeting a ton of executives in the music industry and even outside, like from all different industries. And one of them was Sheila Marcello. And if you don't know who she is, she's the founder and former CEO of Care.com. And she is Filipino, and I did not know that. Rose connected Sheila and I, and we sat down, had coffee. She flew from the East Coast to San Francisco. We had coffee. She didn't know me, but she made time out of her schedule to talk to me about my goals and really asked me to think about like what it is I wanted to do and what I saw myself doing. So I thought that was pretty cool. Like if Rose didn't have access to that network, I never would have had that opportunity. And selfishly, because I was in search for a mentor, I found writing this book would be a legit reason to have an excuse to talk to people and their brains. And when you have that, more people are willing to spend the time to sit with you and tell you their story and their journey.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Mentorship is so important, first of all. Like I have my own mentor and he's awesome. And I just reached out to him on LinkedIn and we're commenting on each other's Instagram stories and blowing each other up all the time, checking in on each other. So it's so important. And I think secondly to that, I don't think it's you call it a selfish thing, but I think it's selfish for the right reasons, because you want to be enlightened and be around the right people and get in different perspectives from an area that's not talked about too much in society. I mean, it's kind of like why I do this podcast. It's selfish of me, but I love bringing on guests and talking with people and learning about their journeys and their lives in that aspect. And kind of going into that a little. So your book talks about 40 different Asian women and their journeys, essentially. And did they all kind of have that struggle? Because it sounds like with you guys that it was one of those things where you guys were just taught, hey, make some money, put in your 401k, and then retire on the beach. And that's kind of boring, to be honest.
How we picked some of the women for this book, all of them are of Asian descent and living in America. And so not all of them were necessarily born here in the U.S., but they currently reside here. They come from all different walks of life. Some of them had, you know, the American dream type of growing up in the suburb, going to a really good school, going to college, that kind of thing. But I find that what most of us have in common is that most of our parents wanted us to do the typical safe, stable job, become a nurse or an engineer, doctor. And so Most of their parents wanted them to go down that path and that route. And many of them pretty much decided, like, no, that's not for me. And I don't want to go down that route. I think in the book, we only have one nurse, but not a traditional nurse. Obviously, the nurse ended up starting her own med spa.
Oh, cool.
And becoming like an entrepreneur.
Yeah, I mean, you know, our parents only had good intentions, right, to try to get us that stable position. And they come over here and it's hard work for them. So they just only want the best. But these women, they all decided not to follow that path. And like one of them, like Jo, she's like a fitness coach. And now she's like a life coach for women. And we have Uzma, who actually came here through a lottery.
Oh, wow. You're talking about the green card lottery, if you're being specific,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, so we talked about that. So that's amazing in the book. So she had a really interesting, very different journey. And now she has her own clinic, and she's like a makeup artist to the stars. So there's so many different journeys. We have Joanna Alba, who started off working at a tuxedo shop, and now she makes them for NBA players and NFL players and all of them. There's just so many different routes. And the thing, another reason why we wanted to write the book was because we come here only knowing the path of corporate, medical, or accounting, you know, or like business, but nobody knows about the music side of things. Nobody knows about the fashion side of things, or just all these amazing opportunities in different industries. And we also wanted to showcase that in the book.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys were able to interview all types of entrepreneurs specifically. You know, I feel like a lot of people always wants to work for Apple or Google or the big tech companies, but there's only going to be so many positions for that. So you're just not showing how Asian women can redefine success, but also like different career paths. And that's really important. You said something kind of interesting, Rose, and you're saying that in terms of like when you were trying to manifest your career, your parents were kind of the ones where they're saying, you know, they only had good intentions for us. And I'm kind of curious, just from like you guys are the expert on this topic, but you know, why do you guys think this is a thing, like in terms of just like Asian women or Asian American women being underrepresented in terms of like leadership in the workforce? Like, do you think part of it is just the fact that lack of example, and there's just not a lot of people out there? Or do you think it's more of a society shaming type of thing, where society and the way businesses operate, they aren't incorporating enough diversity and inclusion, or even a little both?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's a lot of that, a lot of both, and a lot of other things too. I think one is, you know, like our parents come here, and they come here because they want to have better opportunity for the family. And they come here and they are struggling really hard. They don't have a path to follow. They don't have anybody to hold their hand and figure out like how to do things. So they just tell us the best thing. And the best thing is, you know, go work at a hospital and become stable that way, because that's all they know. A lot of them come over here and they become caregivers, or they become, they were actually in the Philippines or in another Asia or a different place, and they come here because they're, you know, going through nursing school, or they're going through the military. So they come over here and that's all they know is those types of industries. So they only want the best for us. And the other part of it, as far as like lack of being represented in different corporates, is I think Asians have that persona that we're very, you know, passive, we're very hospitable, we're very quiet, and we work, you know, we get our hands dirty and we work, and that's what we're good for. But we also have that creative side that they don't know that we have. Like, I mean, and it's good now, because I mean, we're growing, we're showing, we're actually telling people that we have a creative side. We're able to, you know, come up with great ideas and plans and strategies, and you know, we're able to sing, we're able to entertain, you know, stuff like that. So, I mean, it's slowly coming out. It's a lot of work that we're going to have to do, but those are definitely some of the reasons why. I mean, I could probably list a few more too, but that's about it.
Of course. And if you have a few more, you know, definitely talk about it. That's what this podcast is for. I would like to interject and basically just say, I think also a lot of it could come from a cultural perspective. I know that in some countries' cultures that women are generally devalued. They don't have as much power as men do. They don't have as much equal opportunity. In China, for example, women weren't even able to divorce men until 1950, which is crazy to me considering it's such a recent time. Jen, I don't want to skip over you. So what are your thoughts on this?
I definitely agree with a lot of what both you and Rose are saying, though I will say I grew up in a Filipino household, and I feel like if both your parents are Filipino, I feel like the mom is really the boss.
Yeah. Well, I actually grew up in a Filipino household too, where my mom, you know, was the boss, and my dad, you know, he worked in corporate and business and stuff, and my mom was always home and always around and stay at home.
Yeah, I guess it's also different for me because I had a really strong mom. My mom worked pretty much my whole entire life. My mom's never stayed home, right? Like, my mom made more money than my dad. My mom pretty much raised my sister and I. And I think because of her, both my sister and I are very like strong and independent. Mm-hmm. So I think we might be really different in that sense. But I do see a lot of my friends whose their moms pretty much held down like the household, and there are limits. Like, that's a sacrifice that some of them have to make, right, to raise their children and be there for them.
Yeah. And those women are also very strong and independent for raising the family. Like, I give them total props because it's something that I would not be able to do, and I don't envision myself doing anytime soon. But I think if we're talking about a career aspect, yeah, I mean, a collectivist culture exists in Asia and China specifically, where there's a lot of people who, you know, they may have to sacrifice, and the woman is taking that caretaking role as opposed to the moneymaker in your situation. I guess I'm kind of curious, in terms of industries where you see this most, where do you see, like, under misrepresentation, just from your own personal experience?
Well, definitely in corporate and tech. And in our book, we have a few women that are in the cannabis industry.
Okay. And,
you know, there's not a lot of women. There's not a lot of Asian women.
Yeah.
It's been interesting to hear their stories as well.
Yeah. Do you think that has to do with laws, though? Because I know cannabis, for example, is only legal in like California and some of the West Coast states, where some of the states where it is illegal, maybe in like the East Coast or more in the Midwest, it's illegal, and there's not many Asians in that area.
Maybe. I don't know.
I'm not sure. But what are some examples you've seen from corporate?
Yeah, well, in tech, a lot of women, well, genetically, we look really young, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of times that doesn't really work in our favor, because oftentimes they think that we are the intern or we're a lot lower in level than what we actually look.
Mm-hmm.
And second is our voices are not very like deep or loud. You know, we didn't really grow up to like brag on ourselves or, you know, just talk about like what we do. We're more taught to be humble, to put your head down and do hard work. And so a lot of times, like, you know, they're also not confrontational. So if someone were to like take credit for their work, I don't see a lot of women like saying like, hey, that I did, or like they wouldn't address it right there. They'd probably, or maybe they might not even say something.
Yeah. You know? They'll just brush it off.
I mean, those are the examples I saw, but Rose, how about yourself?
So, I mean, yeah, like we look super young and we're not that tall. It sucks to say, but we're not tall where people will like look at us eye to eye, you know, like it's people. I mean, like just speaking from experience, like when I was in corporate, I would negotiate with, you know, different people, different vendors, and I would want like a specific rate for whatever it is that I was buying. or getting, and they'd be like, "Oh, you're so cute when you're mad." Or
that's a weird comment to make, honestly. Like I would report that to HR if I were you.
I know, right. But it's like you get that feeling, like even in college when you're like going through, you know, I don't know, you're doing some type of project or whatnot. Like people will look at you like, "Oh, you're just so cute. You're like little."
Yeah.
And it's like stuff like that. Like people. And I'm only speaking from my experience, but I'm pretty sure like it happens to a lot of women. And also, like, let's say you're in a meeting and you are, you have an answer to whatever the boss or the CEO asks. You know, they ask you a question and you have this answer, but you don't want to say it because you're scared that it might come out wrong. You might not articulate it correctly. Or you just get really nervous, or you're afraid about what other people are going to think of you, because that's also something that we have to deal with within our culture, is that we do think about what other people think of us. Like, oh, you know, when your parents, oh, they might look at you weird, or they might look at you, you know, a certain way. So I think that's part of it too. But like, if you're in an office and you have an answer to a question and then somebody else says it, then that kind of like takes us a step back from trying to get to where we want it.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I mean, I'm an Asian male and I'm 5'7", which isn't even that short by standards. I mean, it's probably average, but in most of the corporations I've been a part of where my team wasn't fully Asian, or there have been Caucasians on the team or people in that aspect, like I've always been at the front of the line just to be in the picture. So I totally understand you when you're talking about that. And I think that, along with some other factors and just a lot of the cultural cues for Asian women, when I'm making a generalization, to be humble, make a good impression, that kind of goes into, you know, trying to speak up for yourself. And it could sometimes lead to some initial hesitancy, even if it's, you know, not intentional in that aspect. So I was wondering if we could go into that and the importance of speaking up as an Asian woman in today's society.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I mean, I grew up in a household where my mom and dad always told me, like, you know, exactly what Rose said. What are other people going to say about you? What are they going to think? And so I mean, I was raised by a soldier, military.
Oh, wow.
Very strict and disciplined, and of course, like, expects me to listen to every command that he gives me, right? Yeah. And I ended up going to a private all-girls school. And, you know, it's also a very, very disciplined environment. However, being in an all-female environment, I learned how to be a feminist.
Yeah.
in terms of, you know, don't be afraid to speak your mind or always do what's right. Or I was never really worried about saying something stupid because of a cute boy in my class. Like, what if, you know, the guy that I had a crush on would think I'm dumb? Like, I never had that because I went to an all-girls school. For me, it was very easy to have a voice and speak back to my dad, which he did not like.
Yeah.
He did not like that. And then I ended up going to UC Berkeley for college, which is a very liberal place. And it's really a place of where thought and freedom of speech is valued. And so again, it was something that was ingrained in me. And so when I got to the corporate world in the beginning, as I started out my career, I was very quiet because I was scared. And I really didn't have any mentors or anyone to kind of guide me. And so a lot of times I was quiet, or I didn't sit at the table because I didn't feel like I had anything of value to say, or I felt like I didn't know anything. But as I grew into my career, I really, really, I gained more confidence. Because, you know, after working in a field for so long, you know what you're doing. Like, you've been through it. You could do it with your eyes closed. There's no reason why I should be afraid or not be afraid to speak my mind. But the crazy thing is, it wasn't until last year, and I took a break and went to this startup, and I actually got bullied.
Oh, in what way?
I got bullied by another female, actually.
Oh, wow.
At the workplace. Actually, two women. One stole my work, literally copied and pasted what I did and put it into a different format.
Damn, that sucks. I mean, I thought plagiarism stopped after college, so that really, really sucks. What was kind of the end result of that?
Yeah, so that was like one thing that happened to me, and I was really upset. And normally, I don't think I would ever would have said something, but I like this time, I said something. No, like, look, that's my work that you straight copied and pasted. And I definitely confronted her and her boss and my boss, because I want to take credit for my work. You know, credit should be given where credit is due. And I think a lot of times we don't brag on ourselves, and we don't say like, yes, that's my thing. I did this. This is something that I've been a part of. I think that's something that we have to learn how to do, because if we don't speak up and say anything about it, then people aren't going to know what we're doing or what we've done. Right? Mm-hmm. Like how can they possibly know? Like I always feel that like our bosses will never know, as long as you're getting your work done and they're not hearing any complaints, you're doing your job, right? But they're not hearing about all these amazing things that you're doing unless you're saying something.
Yeah, I completely agree on that. Rose, did you have anything to add?
Yeah, and I think that like part of the reason why we wanted to write the book was because we are so humble and we don't want to boast. And this book is not about boasting. It's just about the whole, you know, like, we are able to do it too. We are able to, you know, we have, you know, we have credit, or, and we're able to, you know, just like what Jen said, is give credit. And that's part of one of the reasons why we wanted to write the book, was to let everybody know, like, there are women out here, they're doing their thing and they're doing it right. And they're doing it well. They might not tell anybody about it, but I think, you know, their story should totally be told. Yeah, so that was one of the main reasons too. And the fact that I didn't even find it on Amazon. I didn't find a book on Amazon. So that just goes to show, like, nobody is talking about the work that they're doing, and they're doing good work.
No, 100%. You kind of remind me of a situation where I was working corporate, and I'm not going to name the company, but we essentially had a meeting, and my coworker, who was a female, she was presenting the work, and she presented it a couple times, and the guy always, like, the manager kind of pretty much always overlooked it. And then there was a meeting where, you know, my boss at the time, he was a male, you know, and me and him basically went to the meeting with her, and the manager who she was presenting to the work took like a 180 and paid like full attention. And I'm like, that's so sad how like our names need to be attached to your work, even the, and she's also an Asian American woman, but like, it's sad how our names need to be attached to your work just for it to get recognized in the environment. And I guess that kind of brings me to my next question, in the sense of like, there's not a lot of, as you did say, Rose, there are a lot of Asian women out there who are doing their thing and killing it out in the workforce, but there's not a lot of examples we hear. And did you go through any difficulties writing this book, in the sense of like, you had to track these women down to share their stories, or was it easy in the sense of like, everybody was like, okay, yeah, I want to tell my story?
Well, originally we had, our goal was to only find 10 women, 10 Asian women who are doing their thing, because we thought that we were going to have a hard time.
20, not 10, 20.
Oh yeah. So then 20. Yes. And then once we started writing it, every girl on there just started, you know, directing us to another girl who is killing it, and then another girl who is killing it. And then next thing you know, we have 40 women who are doing their thing. And it didn't stop there. There were so many more coming, you know, knocking on our door, or like, we would just like automatically like run into them. It was that energy that we were coming out. So it was like, all of a sudden, all these women are out there.
Yeah, that's super awesome. I love the fact how everybody's just so willing to tell their story for the first time and everything. And And I'm pretty sure it's easy for you guys too, because if you present them, hey, like, do you want to tell your story? I'll be in a book. They're like, heck yeah, you know, like, it'll only take up this much of my time. Like, I'll totally be down to do it. And it's all about making an impact on the world at the end of the day. And I'm kind of wondering, like, when you guys were kind of growing up and, you know, getting your foot in the workforce the first time, was your priority to make an example for other women, you know, like, this is what an Asian woman is capable of, or was it kind of skewed, like, hey, I'm just getting my job, because, like, you were talking about with your parents earlier on?
No. I wasn't thinking about, you know, the future or making an impact on the world. And maybe it's also for the timing that I did graduate from school. Like, I graduated when the dot-com bubble burst. So there were, like, no jobs. Hmm. No jobs. And so at that time, I was just thinking, like, man, I just need a job.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a college student. So it was definitely far from my mind at the time. Like, I never dreamt or saw myself being where I am today. Like, if I'm being honest, mm-hmm. like, no.
Same here. My path was college, corporate, married, family, 401k.
Very structured.
That was my path. Yeah, pretty structured. But, you know, along the way, I just started feeling so, like, there had to be more. There has to be more than just this. And then until I decided what I wanted to do was to be able to share and, you know, lift other women, that's when I started feeling that there's a passion here. There's a drive. This is what I want to do. This is what I'm meant to do. So that was my purpose. And then that's when I started feeling, you know, worth, where I felt like I wasn't just going, you know, through, like, one step after the other. This time it was an actual goal. This time it's an actual goal. I mean, we still have a lot of work to do, but back then, no plan. It was just family, and then have my kids grow up, go to medical school. Same thing. It was the same thing.
No, that's good. That's good. Mojitos on the beach are pretty boring. You know, I used to work for a retirement firm, and talking with a lot of my clients there who were in their late 60s and going off the peak, and, you know, they had a lot of money in their IRAs and retirement accounts, and they could virtually do whatever they want. And the majority of them I'm talking to, they always say, yeah, just make sure, you know, you do the most in your younger years. You know, you don't want to be like me just sitting back with this money. And I'm like, I would think that'd be like the hypothetical fun career, but they're just like, you know, I want to make an impact. That's all it is, you know, at the end of the day.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is, like, I think when Rose and I started to write the book, and I started to think, like, what's my purpose? Right. And I think from writing this book, I really wanted to let the younger generation and future generation to know that they have options, that you don't have to just go to medical school or become a nurse or an engineer. Yeah. Like, there's so much more that you can become and still be happy and have, like, an amazing life that you're passionate about. Like, I would hate for any of us to grow up when we're, like, retired, thinking to ourselves, sitting on the beach, sipping on mojitos, that, oh man, I didn't make an impact in this world. Like, all I did was grind and put my head down and didn't do anything. Like, how sucky would that be?
Yeah. I mean, it would be really, really bad. And I'm curious, like, what do you think the future trajectory for Asian women is, you know, because I would say that a lot of people, in terms of, like, I would say if we look back 20 years ago, I would say 75% of the population would probably be like, okay, yeah, this is an issue. And now it's to about, I would say 90%, 10% probably aren't aware of the issue. And these are just statistics and I'm making up in my head and just generalizations I'm making from the people I talk to. But what do you think is the future trajectory of, like, Asian women in the workforce?
You're not making it up, right? That study that you just talked about in the beginning, how recent is that?
I mean, it was this year, and it's really, really bad that they didn't mention Asian women at all. Rose, what's your thoughts on the subject?
I mean, we are already stepping up, and we are already putting a stamp into whatever it is that we love to do. But I would hope that they would also be able to help impact other women that's after them, you know, maybe if their daughters or their nieces and whatever, whoever it is, like, I would hope that they would help bring up those numbers in the next, I don't know, 5 years, I hope. I hope, I would love to have like an Asian woman running the world, right? Or running the country. Like, that would be amazing to have a president Asian, who's Asian. I mean, what if it was my daughter?
Yeah,
like,
well, if your daughter is, I think to be president, there's a certain age range, so.
Yeah, well, you know, when she becomes of age.
Yeah, exactly. We'll start as a senator first and then work her way up.
Yeah. I'm super hopeful. I am seeing some changes in like women being more present, like in media and being superheroes and in corporations, they are really trying to step up like their inclusion and diversity. They're really trying to make an effort. And so I think that's a step in the right direction. I also think it's amazing that, you know, Disney is going to come up with some Southeast Asian princesses and Mulan came out. So I feel like there are some,
it could get better.
Yeah, I feel like it's getting better. I mean, it's going to take some time and we just have to keep supporting each other and lifting each other up. And it also helps that we have men in our community like yourself who are giving women a voice and do care about like what we have to say and what our journeys were and things like that. So I think it's really important that we have that allyship.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I feel like if anything, men, if I'm in the position to where other men would listen and obviously respect my opinion, I totally believe that everybody should have the perspective to bring on people and talk about things that really matter in the world, like something like this. And you were kind of mentioning the McKinsey study a bit, but it still isn't like a super fast pace. I mean, it was 21% in terms of C-level executives in 2019, but I think in 2015, it was 17% in terms of C-level exec. So that's like 4%. It's positive, but, you know, it's not, I'm not sure if it's really a good percentage uptick per se. You know, it could just be some companies trying to enhance their diversity and inclusion coalition, because that seems to be like the best thing since sliced bread nowadays. And I'm not sure if it's to help their profits or because they actually really mean it. And that's one thing that I see a lot. What's one thing you see in terms of like social media and like the prevalence of media in terms of like networks like Facebook or even Asian Hustle Network that's really, you know, connecting Asian women entrepreneurs and business women to each other?
I love it. I absolutely love it because, you know, back in the day, we didn't have social media, so we would never be able to find each other organically, especially, I mean, I think of people like what you said, like in the Midwest or in the East Coast where there's not as much as a Asian presence as we have here in California. We're spoiled. Like, we see Asian people everywhere. We grew up in it. And so what I love about social media is that you get to meet like all kinds of people from different places around the world working on different kinds of things and with very minimal effort. And you can talk back and forth like in real time. And I think that's like super amazing. So I love it. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like even tonight, like we have our show where we, you know, where we showcase people in the Philippines or, you know, women in the Philippines and vice versa here in America. So, I mean, without
that. Actually, it's worldwide because we have people, we air at a really weird time. So we air live at 10 p.m. Fridays here in the United States, West Coast time, because we have to cater to the Asian audience. Like, so it's Saturday afternoon for them. And also people who are like in Australia or in Canada. And so like our host, she's Australian and then we're both in America. And then, like our guest, she's also from America too, but sometimes they're not always from America. Like we had someone from that was in Bali at the time. And
Yeah.
It's pretty worldwide. Like it's just said, it's pretty amazing to be able to.
And without social media, we would not even become close to being able to connect with other women from different countries.
And men. So,
yes.
Our show actually, so we have like this talk show. It's called In Her Purpose Live. And we started it like maybe a month ago on this Filipino founded app called Kumu. Have you heard of Kumu?
I'm not sure if I have, but I'm pretty sure my mom has because she is the one in touch with everybody from the Philippines. I actually can't speak Tagalog because my mom, you see like a generational gap essentially from like the aunts and uncles and my mom to like all of my cousins and me because they use it as a medium to gossip about everything going on in our lives and we just can't understand. So,
so you should... Rose doesn't really speak, but she can understand. But so we downloaded this app called Kumu because we wanted to support like our Filipino friends. And, you know, some Philams had moved over to the Philippines to create this app. And so they asked us to hop on and it was pretty fun. And Rose and I were like, what is going on? They're like throwing lechons and hello, hello at us. Like red horse beer and we're like, this is crazy. Like it's sensory overload, but it's pretty cool. Like you can hop on and listen to different people's like streams. And you can, if you wanted, if you were to listen, I promise you, you'll learn Tagalog. I mean, majority of the things that are on there are in Tagalog.
Yeah, I totally don't speak Tagalog either. I don't speak it. I do understand it, however. But, you know, to go back to that question, social media is amazing. And yes, there are some things that, you know, with social media, there's like social media bullying and all that stuff. But I think we need to be able, if we're, you know, if we are able to be respectful and like just, you know, just keep things right or just keep things at a better path, then social media is amazing.
Yeah. No, I think... The thing that you are kind of trying to say is it just needs to be used for the right reasons.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not all about flexing your muscles and showing off your new car or, you know, trying to say like I got 10,000 likes and you didn't get any. You know, that's where I think that's where a lot of the depression and the bullying goes in. And I made a pact to myself a couple of weeks ago, like I'm just going to use Instagram now for like my personal one, at least not Unmuted Generations, but follow it if you haven't already, shameless plug, but just like in terms of like as a photo album, you know, and that aspect, but let's talk more about your show. So In Her Purpose Live. And I love how you said men tune into it too, because I feel like it's great for everybody to just get a new perspective, but what does your show really go over?
So we have a host, like I said, she's Australian, but she lives in Manila. Mm-hmm. And she's also an entrepreneur. So she hosts a show alongside Rose and I, who are Philams. And every week we have a new guest. We interview. So far it's been all women because it is called In Her Purpose.
Yeah.
A lot of men have been requesting, like, can you put me on? Like, why don't you want to put men on your show?
A lot of the women that we are interviewing are from the book already, so it's kind of like us, you know, just learning more about them and them actually presenting their journey live, or them talking about it as opposed to us having to read the book. And then we just take like a deep dive on more like what they're doing now, how we could support them, and then and why they're living in their, or how they got to living in their purpose. And but yeah, well, like we just started this. So we have like a long way to go, but we do want to incorporate men. Men is really important. We are very supportive of what, you know, what men are doing too, because, you know, it just works hand in hand.
As long as we should all just be working towards the same purpose, you know, and that's what all that matters.
Yeah. Exactly. Rose and I also, we do help like other women, like we coach them on leveling up in their career or on how to start or build their own business. But we do help men, like they do reach out to us. So we're not going to say like, no, we're not going to help you because you're a dude. Right. We do help
everyone.
Yeah, we do help.
Yeah.
Them.
Yeah. That wouldn't be a very good example of gender inequality. So I'm glad you guys help out men also. But I totally, I love your guys' initiative. I mean, obviously, it's an issue that's not talked about as we've been kind of preaching throughout the podcast. And I guess one question before I hit my last one is that there's obviously a lot of hesitancy for some people who are starting out their career or maybe making a career transition to do that reach out, you know, in terms of like getting a mentor, maybe asking for help from you guys. And what advice would you have to pass on to like maybe an Asian woman listening to this who wants mentorship from another, you know, Asian woman who's gone in their shoes before, but maybe a little more traveled?
I would say don't be afraid to try anything and everything that you've always like wanted to do. And the faster that you actually try something, the faster you'll fail or learn. Like, I'm actually really good at this. I really like it, or I don't. I also think that if you're not alone, right? There's 40 of us in this book have been in your shoes. And don't be afraid to follow us and reach out to us on social media, because we really do respond, right? Like, we are there to help you, to support you, and really be cheerleaders for you to know that you're not alone and that you can do this. Like, we've done it, all these other women have done it, and so can you.
I would say, just going back to the social media thing, use it for, you know, use it as a tool. Go out there and reach out to the people that inspire you. Even if it's not us, just go to, you know, somebody, or, you know, just send them a message and let them know how much they're inspiring you. They will respond. And if they don't, that's okay. There's other women out there that are doing their own thing too, and that you can help, or that can help you. Another thing too is also surround yourself by like-minded people. You know, be around people that will lift you up and support you, and you can do the same. That's to me, I feel like that's the only way that you'll be able to be successful. Because if you do this by yourself, your mindset, you know, you have to have this entrepreneur mindset where things aren't always going to be the right way, or things aren't always going to be headed the right direction. But then there are times, and a lot of times, you will be going down the right direction. But it's a lot of, you know, just the fear, you know, like what Jenna's talking about, like, it's a lot of fear that will make you stop, and then you will end up not doing what you wanted to do. But if you surround yourself by people who are the same, or people who are smarter than you, you will keep moving during those hard times, you know, and during those good times, you'll just keep moving. And that's what's going to help you become a better person in life and career and in your own business.
Yeah, surround yourself with people who make you better, and don't be afraid to do that. Reach out, guys. I think it's so beneficial. And the only thing that is possibly holding you back is rejection. But rejection is just like a norm of life nowadays, you know? There's no harm in reaching out to somebody. There's nothing bad that could possibly happen from it. I guess my last question is, for you both, is actually, you know, what's next for In Her Purpose? You guys got a lot going on. And are there any type of plugins that you guys want to share? Because I know there's a lot of things going in the funnel right now.
Oh, there's so much. There's so many. Let's see. Well, what are we going to do, Max? Well, we're going to definitely write a volume 2. But right now we are focusing on our first version, and just trying to, you know, build a community that help lifts other women and men and, you know, just to help them live in their purpose. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there who are, and especially now, you know, they're feeling, you know, sad, they're feeling like unproductive, maybe they're feeling, you know, low energy. And we want to be here to help lift them up and help liberate them into becoming productive and following their purpose. So that's our main thing. Mentorship, you know, we're all about mentoring other people. We would love to start doing that. We just want to grow the community, and then build on our volumes, and then just leave a legacy for these women that are in the book.
We also have like other projects that we're aspiring to do, like having an audiobook. And I was like, talking to Rose about how cool would it be if we had like a documentary or a docuseries on Netflix.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, those are all in the line.
our talk show, it streams on Kumu and on, we use StreamYard. And so we might be turning it into a podcast soon. So I don't know. It's turning into this media company / life of its own. I really don't. It just evolves as people come to us with different projects and ideas.
That's awesome to hear, though. I mean, it sounds like you guys are figuring out different ways to get content out to everybody. Like, if they don't want to read, they could tune into the show. If they don't even want to watch the show, they could listen to the podcast if you guys open it up. So I have no doubt that you guys are setting yourselves up for success. And it's just for a super awesome initiative, like we said at the start of the podcast. And I hope it's impacting plenty of Asian women around the world. I know that was kind of the plug-in portion of the podcast, but do you have any last messages to share?
I know. I mean, like, if you're in this mindset where you think you can't do it because of a specific thing, no, you could do it. Do what it is that will make you happy and go for it, and, you know, focus and get yourself around people that are just like you and smarter than you, maybe, and get it done. But aside from that, you can find us on inherpurpose.com. You could also find the book on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and where else, Jim? There's so many other
places. If you want to support a local bookshop, there's a website called bookshop.org, and you can look up a bookstore in your neighborhood that carries us. But I do have words for the audience, and maybe it might not speak to everyone, but like, what's been really heavy on my mind in the recent days is are all the people who lost their jobs and I got laid off from like Disney. And I mean, the tech companies here in the Bay Area started to lay off early in the pandemic, but like, I've been thinking about them a lot recently. And so if there's anybody that needs help with the resume or connecting to my network or practicing interviewing, because it's been like 5 years since you've made a resume or anything like that, I'm super happy to help you, because I don't want you to feel stuck or unmotivated. And it's really easy to do when you're isolated at home, and it's really easy just to like curl up in a ball in your bed right now. So definitely like reach out to us. Like, we're happy to help you. I'm happy to help you personally.
Yeah, I have a feeling that there may be some people who take you up on that offer. Prayers and thoughts go out to everybody who lost their job, especially the people at Disney. I know there will probably be more layoffs to come. But other than that, I mean, on a good note, I will put all of your links in the description below. If anybody needs to contact you for career guidance or just want to learn more about In Her Purpose and their initiatives, I'll make sure to put those links in. Thank you, Jen and Rose, so much for coming on again. I really enjoyed our conversation about this topic, and I can't wait to see what you both do in the future. And for everyone listening, thanks for tuning in till the end. I hope this podcast episode was able to resonate with you. I hope you were able to learn more. And for everyone listening, thanks for tuning in to the end of this episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope you guys learned a little bit more about empowerment among Asian women. And as always, I challenge you to ask yourself the question, how far are you willing to expand the horizons of your thinking and actively seek out discomfort to evolve and create a happy life for yourself? Thank you so much for tuning in again. Make sure to subscribe, leave a rating or review if you guys enjoyed the episode, and I'll see you guys later.